Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Everyone, this is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirits from all walks of life. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first, hashtag you matter. You can pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Wisdom Whispers, a little food for thought in my newsletter. Pick up a free gift there for you listeners, a printable journal, just for you guys who love to take notes. Record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. Join our circle. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And today I'm excited to introduce to you our guest, my friend, author, and literary agent, Deborah Jacobs, who has joined us to talk about her new book, A Happy Move. With over 29 moves under her belt, Deborah isn't just experienced, she's nearly a professional. I can't even imagine. I moved once in the last 44 years and one time 7 years before that, and maybe a couple more if you count a move to the dorms or my first apartment. With all those moves under your belt, Deborah has packed so much information and valuable lessons into her book, A Happy Move. Wish I would have had it. Welcome to our Kindred Spirit Show, Deborah.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Well, it's interesting that with the career that you're in now, that you have become an author yourself, and what on earth drew you to write a book about moving other than you've done it so much? Why not?
It was actually kind of funny because I was speaking with one of the publishers that I have several clients with, and we were talking about moving. I guess one of their relatives was moving and running into all kinds of nightmares, and so I was giving them advice, and they're like, you need to have a book. You need to write a book about this. So I'm not a writer. I'm an agent, but I'm not a writer. So I went to my best friend, Britt Elders, who is a professional writer, and said, do you want to write this with me? And so we did it together, and I provided all the information, and she did an incredible job writing it and putting all the stories and everything together in something that was really, I think it's really well done and very usable.
Well, I love that it's spiral bound and has a hard cover on it that covers the spirals, because it makes it so easy to not just thumb through, but to lay flat and read. And it was a very unique way to put a book together I hadn't seen before. And I think the next journal I do, I'll do it that way.
I think we made the publisher crazy, because that's the way we wanted it. We wanted it hardcover, because you want to take this book with you, and you can use it, you know, for a very long time. So we wanted something that held up, and then because there are forms in it that you can fill out for information, we wanted something you could lay flat and you wouldn't have to fight with. It took almost 2 years for the book to come out, just because they were trying to find the right printer who could do it right.
I'll be darned. Well, you did a great job, and it's wonderful the way the sections are separated with a dark page, so when I'm kind of trying to find something, it's easy. And then the little gray rectangles all through the book, those little Deborah hints and tips are just so perfect for, you know, this, that, oh, aha, yep, that's something I need to remember. But
thank you.
Did you get started with all this moving for a reason?
I don't know if I'm just part gypsy or from a past life or no, a lot of the moves I made early on were, you know, my parents had moved cross country. I wanted to be close to them, and then I got married, and he was in the military, and that accounted for about four or five of the moves. And then after getting divorced, of course, I wanted to move away from him. but I think some of it is, it's like a inbred wanderlust I have. Every 2 years or so, I get edgy. And it's funny because my daughter and I were talking about this yesterday. We've actually been in the same town, in the same building for 3 years. And I said, are you starting to get the itch?
Well, I think you've moved 9 times in the 15 or so years that I've known you. So
at
it's
least,
like I think
yeah.
you were in California when we first got acquainted, and then it was Arizona and North Carolina and back to California, and you're back in Arizona. And I think there was another North Carolina in there somewhere. I'm not sure.
I moved to North Carolina 3 different times in like
wow.
the last probably 30 years. I have this, I love the South. And so I'll move back to the West every time I get hit by a hurricane. Or I move back to California and then it's like, oh, there's earthquakes. And then I move back to Arizona. I keep coming back to Arizona. I think I'm stuck somewhere in Arizona for the rest of my life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, is it easier? I mean, I have no experience other than to move from one side of town to the other. And, you know, we packed up our daughter and moved her to Colorado to go to college. And other than that, I mean, all my moves have been in pickup horse trailers and flatbed trailers, you know, one load at a time.
I'm still
unpacking from the last move. So.
I think, you know, the evolution of the Internet has actually made moving harder because now there's so many scams out there and traps that people can fall into with, you know, actually fake sites for movers that look like authentic sites or, you know, Craigslist to rent a place, and then you get there and
right.
find out that it wasn't legitimate. So I think, you know, the planning of a move really needs to be as intricate as we make it in this book, because if you don't have the right plan, something will go wrong. And when you, I know you've read the stories that it, you can see how many times things have gone wrong for me in moves.
And you have lots of experience. The biggest headache I've had is somebody loaded a box that wasn't labeled, and then all of a sudden there's 10 boxes that aren't labeled, and oh, Lord, you know, 4 years ago we moved, I'm still finding boxes unlabeled that haven't been opened.
Well, so. And that, you know, that's like one of the biggest things that we talk about in the book is labeling things. So when you get there, you not only know what's in those boxes, but you know where those boxes go.
Yeah, and you do talk about trying to move on your own if you can do it as opposed to hiring somebody.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of instances where what I call a DIY move is a lot cheaper and can be a lot more convenient. I mean, when you're taking the stuff with you, you know it's going to get there when you get there.
Right.
You know, on cross-country moves, I usually use a professional mover. It's just I've done the, you know, rent the truck, haul the car behind the truck. In fact, I did that on my second to the last move. And afterwards I went, why did I do that?
Because
it can be hard.
Crossing
you know?
The mountains.
Yeah, I mean, I went from Arizona to Northern California on those windy, twisty, you know, roads through the mountains up the coast. And when you're not used to driving a vehicle that's that big, you know, and you can't rent one to practice on necessarily.
Right.
So, you know, getting kind of thrown into that, it can be kind of stressful. So, you know, on large moves, I do tend to use professional movers. You know, the difference being your stuff may take 3 weeks to get there. You know, one of the stories I talk about in the book is we actually arrived in North Carolina the night before 9/11, and we didn't see our stuff for 3 months.
Oh, my word. Wow.
Yeah. So,
that would be a challenge. And then you throw in kids and pets to that, and you have a whole nother stack of cards, you know, that are kind of shuffling themselves around.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, as my mother would say, proper planning prevents poor performance.
I love that. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Well, that should be a bumper sticker somewhere.
It should.
Yeah. So
you know, that's kind of why we broke it out, like you were talking about the sections. You know, it's before, during, and after. There's as much to consider. A lot of people just throw everything in a truck and they go, which I have done that, and they don't think about after. And on one of the times early on when my daughter was young, I just threw everything in boxes, and when I got there, I couldn't register for school until I unpacked every box to find her medical records.
Oh,
her shot records. You know, and then some of the states required, if you're divorced, they want your custody agreement to put your kids in school. So, you know, it's really important to know what you need and when you're going to need it.
Boy, that's for sure, and I would think that would apply even to adults and seniors moving things like your trust documents and jeepers. Do you move
Absolutely.
Bank accounts and all that, or do you just keep one central bank that you always use no matter where you are? I mean, that would be another question that would come up for me.
Well, you know, part of the problem is if you're not with a national bank, and even sometimes when you are, I was with Wells Fargo for like 35 years, and I moved to an area in North Carolina where there were no Wells Fargos, and so I had to change banks.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, things like that. But, you know, if you've planned it out, you already have scoped out what's available at that new area.
Right. I would hope you've at least been there once or twice because you want to see where it is that you're going to move into and know what's around it.
That would be the perfect scenario. I haven't actually managed to do that many times on my moves. I tend to arrive with truck, kit, and pets and then have to go find a rental. It's not the smartest way to make a move. I arrived in North Carolina on one of my moves on a holiday weekend, and everything was closed. And of course, all the hotels were booked up because it was a holiday at the beach. So, yeah, again, planning.
Yeah, I noticed that was one of the things that you put in one of your chapters was that, and not just plan for where you land, but plan for the stops along the way so that you don't drive into a town at midnight exhausted from 12 hours of driving and there's no room at the end.
Yeah. Well, and you can do that like going cross country. There's so many hotel chains that you can actually map it out. So when you know you're within like an hour of getting to a town, you can contact them and go ahead and make your reservations. Or if you're not going to make it to that place, you can contact them and cancel the reservations. You know, and some people, I swear, I think if I ever moved cross country again, I'd do it with an RV. You know, it'd be great.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, make it a vacation and, you know, hit a national park and just park the RV instead of having to try to find a hotel.
Right, right. My sister used to have a Volkswagen Vanagon pop top, and to this day she wishes she had it back again, because that's what she would do. She would just take off and, you know, go to the lake and camp, or drive up to Stockton and visit our grandparents, or just whenever the mood struck her, off she went. She had her bed with her.
It kind of takes that, some of that anxiety out of the move, too, especially if you have kids. Because then
it's a long drive.
Adventure. Yeah. Instead of just sitting in a car for 10 hours a day, you know, they're looking forward to something. Maybe take a, if your stuff is going by a professional mover, you got a good 2 weeks to 4 weeks before it's going to get there. So
yeah,
why not plan a trip to the Grand Canyon or whatever and stay a couple days?
Well, that sounds fascinating and really a great way to make the move an adventure, not a chore.
Right.
Yeah. So how do you pick what size, if you're going to DIY it, how do you choose what size truck or trailer to rent? And we've got a minute or two left before break. What's the best tip you have for packing the truck?
My best tip, and I've learned this from experience, is when I start to pack, I tape off an area in my house. First, I look up. You can look in the book. There's a thing that says, you know, if you have a two-bedroom house, you should approximate this size pod or this size truck. Then I tape off that size area in my house. And as I pack into that area.
Oh.
So then I know, oh, I'm going to have to sell that washer and dryer because it's not going to fit on the truck. Or I need to get a little bit bigger truck.
Yeah. Golly, do you stack like the couch and everything and then pile stuff on the couch and literally pack the truck in your living room?
Well, because of the way you're supposed to pack a truck, your furniture really goes in last. So
yeah.
While you're packing all your boxes first. So I put those in that taped-in area. And then I measure my furniture, so I'm not, like, sitting on the floor for 2 weeks before I move.
Right, yeah.
I measure my furniture and know, okay. In fact, one of the moves, I actually had to call Goodwill because I hadn't done this, and I had to tell him to come pick up a table and chairs that I was leaving on the sidewalk because it wouldn't fit in the truck.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's something I guess I would never have thought about. And another question that popped into my mind as you're talking about that is the size of the boxes. That was one of the biggest issues I had. I just, wherever I could get free boxes, I got free boxes. And those big boxes are not necessarily a good thing.
No, and, you know, I always advise buying the new boxes. They're cheap. You go to Home Depot or Office Max or something, place like that, or even Walmart, you can buy, you know, the brand new boxes. The more uniform your boxes are, the easier it is to pack them. Plus, you don't have any kind of bugs or anything that maybe when you grabbed them at the grocery store may have been in that box that you're going to take with you.
Well, one of the lessons I learned was how heavy clothes are. It's like I was really cleaning out the closet and just using a garbage bag because I was going to take everything to the laundromat, clean it, and then take it to Goodwill. I was shocked that I couldn't pick up the garbage bag without ripping it because I had very nicely folded all my clothes in there, and they weighed a ton.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, your clothes can make great packing material. So, like, T-shirts and sweaters and things, instead of all ending up in one box that's going to be mega heavy, I use them for packing, and so they end up in a whole lot of boxes.
Oh, that's a great way to pad your things that are breakable and fill in all the little nooks and cracks and crannies.
Yeah, people don't seem to understand that if you leave a space at the top, that your boxes are going to smash. They also don't know that 90% of your breakage that happens in a move is from the vibration in the truck. So even if you wrap things in paper, if they're vibrating at all against each other, which they'll shift and move in a truck, that's what causes the breakage.
That's going to change it.
Yeah, taking the clothes and, you know, stuffing those extra socks, especially if you make a summer move, take all your winter socks, you know, and stuff your glasses into winter socks. Keeps the vibration down.
That's a great idea.
There's all kinds of tips on our website and on our YouTube channel for how to pack sharp
things. What's the website?
Website is ahappymove.com, and the YouTube is A Happy Move Book.
Very cool. Well, we are just a couple of seconds away from taking our first break, so before we get into the next question, we'll take a few and be back in another few.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Dobbs with Wisdom Evolution, and I'm talking to Deborah Jacobs, and we've been chatting about A Happy Move, her new book. So getting back into the moving conversation, Deborah, do you think it's harder to move with children and pets? I mean, we would assume so, but you've got some really wonderful tips in your book about how to make that easier so it's almost fun.
I thank you. I think it's harder to move with pets in some instances, depending on what animals you're taking. You know, children you can communicate with, but when you have a cat that's screaming, wanting to get out of the car, you know, unless you properly do it where you're getting some, you know, if the cat's going to need to be tranquilized, you know, go to the vet ahead of time. You know, take your dogs in the car and drive them around and see how they're going to be. Get them acclimated. Children, as long as you keep them busy, they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, and with pets, you kind of have to teach them how to take their breaks. Like, first time I traveled with a dog, it's like, come on, puppy, it's piddle time. It's not play time. And now, you know, as soon as you let her out, if she's got a halter on, she goes potty.
So, training, it, of course, is going to be, you know, beneficial. I've moved with two dogs, a cat, a chameleon, a rabbit, a bird, fish. I mean, there's all kinds of different considerations depending on what pet you're taking, how long you're going to be driving. When you travel with dogs, one of the things I found is, and it's good for you too, you need to stop every couple hours. Get out, get your dog out of the car, walk around, let your dog either just run around and play or do its business. But it also gives you that break.
Yeah. So what is one of the most important things people often forget to think about before they move?
You know, I don't think there's one specific most important, except for, did I plan this well? Do I know what could go wrong? There are so many pitfalls, as you can tell by the stories in it, that I've run into. And there's a lot of things I didn't even include in the book that are nightmare scenarios that I've run into. Things like, you know, checking the weather when you're driving cross country, you know, I had an email from somebody who had read the book, and he said, thank God I read your book, because I got to Arkansas and went, you know what, I need to check the weather, that she says check the weather. So he checked the weather, and he would have gone through all those tornadoes last week that were going across Oklahoma.
Oh, my goodness.
So he just stayed put where he was until those storms had passed. It's really important to just make sure you have a plan. You know, and that's probably the most important thing. All of these aspects of moving, I think, are equally important.
That's very true, because any one of them left out ruins the whole move.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember when I first got radar on the weather app on my phone, and I was coming from California to Cave Creek, and they'd been having all kinds of horrendous rainstorms. And I would watch the radar, and I'd leave while it was pouring at home, and then drive like crazy and get ahead of the storm, and check into a hotel the night, and then watch the radar app and get up in the morning and, oh, it's catching up with me, and I get on the road and run ahead of it again.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to do that. I mean, I arrived in North Carolina on a DIY move with my truck and my kid and my grandkid, and it was the same night a hurricane was hitting.
Wow.
So, that was not fun.
Earth do you go in that kind of wind and wet?
If we just simply stayed one day longer, like in Georgia, we would have missed it completely. It was beautiful the next day. But, you know, it's those kind of little tips that people don't think about, especially, you know, one of the things I'd love is to see parents give their kids this book when they're going to move away to college. Because college kids are like, throw it in the car and go, you know, and they don't realize any of these other aspects that, you know, if they have prescriptions, that they're going to need to take paper prescriptions with them, that other states aren't going to fill them. All these little things that it's like, if I knew it, it wouldn't have happened. And that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah. Experience makes the best writer.
Exactly. You know, one of the things I always tell clients, you know, switching over to the agent concept that I do, is write what you know. And so that's what I did with this book. I wrote what I knew.
Well, as a retired realtor, what a gift this would have made to my clients with you know, I dealt, of course, like we all do, mostly with local moves, and people that are moving up or moving down, but in the last 10 years or so of my career, I had a lot of folks that I'd sold them their first house and then their bigger house, and now they're moving to their retirement house, and it's not staying in California, so they were heading out, and this book is, I mean, I would buy 10 copies of it and give them to clients as soon as they signed the contract to buy or sell. That there, if there's any realtors out there listening to this, why, this is one of the best gifts I think you could give your clients, is a happy move. Because
thank
the
you.
Stress involved in selling the house is enough. Take the stress out of the move for them by gifting them this book, and you've done a great service for generations, because it's a book that's been made to last. It's not going to fall apart in the move, and it's something that you can pass along to the kid going to college, to the newlyweds buying their first home, to just about anybody that's making a move. And I know your moves have all been big and massive and family involved, but just to have some of the information you have in this book to move away from home for the first time into your first apartment, even if it's just across town from your parents, and, you know, your plan is to go home and raid the pantry every week. You still need to know where to get your groceries when the pantry's empty, and where to get your gas in your car, where to get your car serviced, where's the post office, those kind of things, and
yeah, who your utility company is, who the internet service provider.
Yes.
So when you have that issue, you just open your book and go, okay, here's the phone number. Let me call them and tell them there's a problem.
Well, and with the forms that you have in there, it gives people an opportunity to do exactly what you're trying to tell them to do, and that's plan. Write these things down, and then you have, you know, your little Bible book of moving. It's
such a huge difference when you understand that there are things that from state to state may not, you know, be the same. So,
right.
You know, and if you have the list of the utility companies you had, then if you don't get your refund for your deposit, you can call them, because they're in your book. You know who they are, what your account number is and everything. And you can call them and say, hey, I haven't received my, deposit back yet.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that sort of thing. So it's not just about where you're going. It's about knowing where you've come from.
Exactly.
So that you take that information with you on the move.
Wow. How many times do people move and they've got to go to a new dentist? And the first thing the dentist says is, where do we get the records from your last
right.
dentist? Well, if you open your book, you say, here's the information. You know, where you've had an x-ray in the past, you know.
Yeah.
Having that at your fingertips in one spot is a big deal.
Yeah, it's like taking the Rolodex with you.
Exactly. But you get all kinds of other goodies in there.
That's right. Well, it's time for us to take another quick break, and we'll be back in a few. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to talk about authorship.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only
can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, which you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Kindred Spirits. I'm Vicki Dobbs, and I'm having a wonderful chat today with my friend Deborah Jacobs. And we've been talking about her new book called A Happy Move. But Deborah wears a much larger hat than author. She is also a literary agent. And Deborah, now that you've taken up the pen and become an author yourself, what would be a little nugget of advice you might share with our listeners who have the dream of writing their own book floating around in their hearts?
You know, one of the things that happened with COVID is like everybody was home, right? So
right.
Everybody decided they could write a book. and because the publishers were so inundated with direct communications with authors, they kind of backed off, and almost all of them now require that you have an agent. If you're kind of thinking about writing a book, the first thing I tell people is go on Amazon or go to a bookstore, see how many other books are out there about the same subject you want to write about. Sometimes it's a matter of you need to write a book because it's going to be therapeutic to yourself, more so
yeah.
than it's ever going to get published. And that's not a bad thing. I have had a lot of people, once you get all that onto paper, that experience, the emotions, the details, it allows people to actually heal from experiences. So I would say, one, do not write a book to make money, because only 1% of all authors on this planet make more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
1%. So when people contact me and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for representation, I say, why do you want to write a book? And if they say, well, I want to make a lot of money, I say, I'm not your agent.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, you could get lucky, or you could have really great contacts with people that can get you on Oprah. But in general, it's time-consuming, and it's expensive. So you have to figure out, why do I want to write this book? If there's not 50 million titles out there already and the market's flooded, then write your book. But write what you know. Don't
yeah.
go... I've gotten like 15 manuscripts this last year that were all people taking things other people had said. It's like,
yeah.
that's not your book.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, if you have something really new and different or niche-y or that's really important for people to learn about, write your book. Talk to an agent.
For me, I think that some of the books that I like to read the most are memoir that also have a healing message to them. One of my favorites is Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. Not only is it fabulously written and amazing narration that he does, but all the little hidden gems of the stories that fit the title, those green lights, those go-ahead moments that you recognize. And so you can write your story which is totally unique because nobody else has written your story, and yet in the writing of it create those healing moments that you experience, and somebody else reads that and they go, oh my God, I'm not alone. There, somebody yeah. else had that happen, or somebody
they
else
get
that felt
aha.
that. The aha's, yeah.
But I will tell you, like, I don't even represent memoirs because
uh-huh.
unless you're famous or have done something like, you know, gotten lost climbing Mount Everest and survived for 30 days,
right.
you know, they're really hard to get traditional publishers to publish memoirs. It has to be something completely unique or different. But you can write memoirs in a sense of a self-help book where
right.
you're using your own stories to support whatever the issue is or topic it is in that chapter you're discussing, and then end with those aha, you know, things.
And that's what makes the book
about.
Unique, because it's your story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I know people have said just because it's been done a million times before that it's not something that can't be redone again. But
see,
when
I
you're
disagree
talking
with that.
Yeah, and I would say that for my, the same for myself. When you talk about you getting manuscripts that are the same old of somebody writing what somebody else has said.
Yeah.
Do you think the advent of AI is going to create more and more of that?
Well, I will tell you, I actually have gotten inquiries for me representing books written with AI. I will not do that. I think that's a scam. If you can't write well, like I can't write, I got a professional writer. I got a professional editor. Don't use AI. Remember, programs in AI learn from information that's already out there, right? So
right.
if you're going to have a book written by AI, don't you think at some point there's going to be stuff in your book that was simply in other people's books that AI has copied?
Absolutely.
I hate that. I can understand somebody editing a book they've already written with AI. That, okay, maybe. But it's one, it's not going to be your voice. So, you know, a book
right.
is like a large business card. You want to get things like speaking engagements that pay you. But
yeah.
if your book was written with AI and you stand on a stage and start talking and it's not the same voice that you have, everybody's going to say you're a fraud.
That's a really important thing. I wrote a book too fast, and I'm still trying to give it a heart, because when I sent it off to a friend to read, she said, there's a lot of good stuff in this, Vicki, but where did your voice
where
go?
Where are you? Yeah, where are you?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. okay, so hurry, write a book in a weekend is a wonderful way to get bones put together. But
exactly.
you can't rush the heart and soul of a book. The story has
no.
to have heart. And,
well, and I will tell you, 90% of the manuscripts I have received, well, maybe 80%, in the last 3 years have been missing the emotion and the details.
Yeah.
You know, people just think they're going to get, I had this one book that had this rape in it. She had been raped. And it was like, I was raped. Not, you know, how did it feel? What were your emotions? What was the room look like? What did things smell like? I mean, there's so many sensory things. And
right.
if somebody doesn't include that in their writing, I make them go rewrite it.
Well, here's a question to ponder, and we'll be taking another quick short break here. But if a writer decides they want to get an agent, what should they look for, and what questions should they be asking in their search? We'll pick up with that question when we come back with Deborah Jacobs This is Vicki Dobbs, and hang in. We're back for another 8 in a few.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to pick up with that question I asked Deborah, which I think is in every writer's mind, that if they decide that they want to get an agent, what should they look for, and most importantly, what questions should they be asking in their search to find the right one?
You know, this has got a lot of parts and pieces to it, because, if you're going to go through and wanting traditional publishing through a traditional publisher, you have to have an agent. It's like buying a house without a realtor. You want somebody who knows the legalities, who understands the contracts, that can keep you from falling into a mess or getting ripped off. So you want to set yourself up to get picked up by an agent. And statistically, in the last 5 years, it's actually become harder to get an agent than it is a publishing deal.
Wow.
Ever since the publishers were like, no, we'll only work through an agent. There are agents out there that are ethical and good. There are agents out there that are not. There are also something called agent managers or literary managers, which have popped up in the last 5 years, and I hate that, because
party getting in the middle.
Yeah, that's the, you pay me $2,500 to $5,000, I'll help you with your proposal, and I'll ensure you get an agent. I've ran into quite a few of these that the first thing I ask them are, if I sign this person, are you getting paid for me signing this person? If they say yes, I won't have anything to do with them.
Wow.
I think it's a con. It makes me crazy. Now, if somebody's just helping them write the proposal and, you know, recommends me and three other agents, that's fine. But there are actually people out there that are getting paid just to connect people with agents. And they're getting paid for it. And I believe in being ethical to a fault.
Yes.
So I hate that. But there are certain kinds of places you can go look for agents and see, like publishersmarketplace.com is a professional site that if you're looking for an agent, and let's say you wrote a romance novel, you can actually go on this site and find agents that have successfully represented romance novels. Because not all agents represent everything.
Right.
You know, I'm very specific in the types of books I represent. And I don't represent any fiction whatsoever. So, you know, you want to find the agent that best suits what it is you're writing. And then you need to vet that agent. Don't take it for granted just because they've represented one book that was a bestseller that they're a good agent. You know, ask for contacts for their other authors they've represented. You know, find out, you know, how they work with people. The majority of agents that are reputable work for 15% commission on whatever it is you make off your book. Yeah. Other ones that aren't so reputable may say, oh, yeah, I'll do it for 30%. Well, they're not good agents.
Wow.
You know, so you want to be careful. I mean, this industry has been turned upside down ever since Borders bookstores closed. So many publishers went under when they got all those books back that you have these huge conglomerates like Random House bought Tarcher Penguin. They already had 80 imprints under them, and they just bought Hay House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so just because somebody's name is on a book, like Pergy, you know, oh, this was published by Pergy, it's still under the Random House umbrella. So you want an agent that understands this.
Right.
You know, you want an agent that if you say, I want to be published by this company, they know that company. They know if that's going to be a good company for you.
So how important is that book proposal?
Book proposal is the biggest thing. You know, don't write query letters to agents. We hate that. Send me a proposal. And don't send me one of these 26-page proposals. Nobody reads them anymore. If an agent sends one of those big proposals that has 18 sample chapters in it to a publisher, some assistant's going to print it, and it's going to go on a pile.
Yeah.
I have a guide on my website anybody is welcome to use for free. That's what I consider a mini proposal. It has the basic important information that first your agent's going to want to see before they even consider you, and then what a publisher's going to want to see.
And
so,
what's that website, Deborah?
DancingWordGroup.com.
So that's DancingWordGroup.com. DancingWordGroup.com.
Yes.
So
and
before I run out of time, go ahead. Well, I don't want us to run out of time, and I know we're down to our last few minutes here. So this is a plug and a question. When I published my first couple of books, you were instrumental in teaching me how to be interviewed and how to interview folks. I was blown away by how much I didn't know because I'm a talker by nature and by the way different people can talk or carry on a conversation. So I guess my question is, are you still coaching? Do you still work with people who want to be better at talking to people?
Absolutely. I offer several kinds of consulting on my website that's separate from my agent work, you know, teaching people how to, you know, do interviews, teaching people how to do social media. You know, a lot of the PR falls on the authors these days.
Right.
So I have, you know, consulting stuff on there, how to do branding. You know, so many authors don't realize that they are the brand. It's not their book title.
Right. That was a hard one for me to get a hold of because, you know, the umbrella felt too big and yet the book felt too small.
Well, and I think people like you that are very humble have a tendency not to claim their power, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, and claim their work. I run into that a lot. You know, I ran into that with Lynn Andrews. I mean, 21 books to her name, and it still took me a while to get her to understand that she was the brand, not her books. You know, so I think there's this level of humility where you have to claim this as yours and know that the only reason the books are out there is because of you. You're the special.
Deborah, I can't say thank you enough for sharing not just your amazing new book and all the things that it can help people do in moving, but also your wisdom and knowledge in this business of taking an idea into a book and then finding a way to move that book out into the world and then telling people about it and then standing up and sharing publicly what your journey has been. And again, I want to let folks know how they can get in touch with you. So the website for the book is ahappymove.com. And for the videos, ahappymovebook.com on YouTube. I don't know if that's .com, it's on YouTube. And then please, everybody, check out Deborah's website at dancingwordgroup.com. There's just a plethora of valuable information there, especially if you're one of those who's got a book bubbling in their heart. And there's something telling you, not just, I want to write, but I have to write it. And you get to the place where you need the kind of direction that you can find from somebody like Deborah. And I just want to wrap it up by saying, get your copy of A Happy Move if you've got any intention of moving anytime soon or you know somebody that has. It's available everywhere good books are sold. And just to check out, remember Vicki Dobbs at VickiDobbs.com. That's
Thank
me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. This has been wonderful.
It has been, Deborah. And folks, it's time for us to say goodbye. And I wish you all a wonder-filled, happy week traveling down happy trails. Remember VickiDobbs.com and give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Till we meet again.